on this episode of RevHang.
I do want to put out a disclaimer. There's going to be an inordinate amount of Perez slander this week. I am not in Ben's house, as far as he knows.
Nathan is in my walls right now. If, like, on lap 7, Max Verstappen cured cancer, then I'd be like, okay, sprint races might be okay.
Like, there are 3 entire teams between him and his teammate. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben. How you doing?
Man, it feels like we were just here.
Yes, we were just here last week, and we will be here again next week.
Here, in my house. How'd you get in? What are you doing here?
That is not accurate. I am not in Ben's house, as far as he knows.
Nathan is in my walls right now.
Yes, it's the best podcast studio.
Yeah. So comfy. The stud spacing is so far apart. But no, it's been good. It's been hot, but just trying to keep everything watered, try to keep the yard in a decent condition in case people come over, and trying to keep up with the puppy training, and it's tiring, but it's still fun. Waking up at 6. She's gotten better. She used to wake us up with the howling at like 5 a.m. and now it's closer to like 6, which is much more acceptable, I think.
That's progress, man.
Yeah, it really is.
Good progress. I'll take it. This is not a housekeeping podcast. This is a racing podcast. So, with the traditional, this is not a podcast out of the way.
Not a dog training podcast. It's not a guardian podcast.
I think I've used both of those before, but...
Have you really?
I think so. I used the dog one last week, but...
Oh, okay. I was, expecting you to tee that one up, and you didn't. I was like, oh, that seems kind of like a missed one, but...
Yeah, well, it's used, so... All right, let's jump into some racing. We only had F1 this week. There was no IndyCar race. But before we dive into the wonderful world of Formula One that is free from drama and scandal, of course...
We'll talk about drama and scandal.
I just do want to put out a disclaimer. There's going to be an inordinate amount of Perez slander this week. So, be ready.
I can't wait. It's been too long.
All right. Paddock news. Let's do this first. Lance Stroll has renewed his contract with Aston Martin, much to everybody's surprise. He will be with Aston Martin for at least another year.
You think it's one of those... Okay, I don't watch The Office, so you have to forgive me if I get the reference wrong, but isn't the guy who plays Ultron, what's his name?
Who plays who?
Ultron. James Spader. James Spader's character. Doesn't he, I seem to remember my wife watching an episode where he, didn't want his wife to get a job in the office, but at the same time didn't want it to seem like he didn't want her to get a job in the office. So he tried to get her a job in the office, and everybody was super confused.
Yeah.
I feel like that's Lawrence Stroll with Lance Stroll. That has to be.
It's a Robert California situation, yeah.
Yeah, that was his name. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I don't see Lance ever. I don't know. That's a tough one. But
I was thinking, Logan Sargeant is getting a seat. I wonder what the comparison... That makes me wonder what the comparison between Lance Stroll and Logan Sargeant would be in the same car.
Yeah. It's hard to know. I still stand by that I don't think Aston Martin is... I don't consider them seriously a championship contender until they get rid of Lance Stroll. In terms of, their mindset. Okay, I get it. You want your son to be in Formula One, but you also want to be a world championship team.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced that you actually want the world championship that bad until you make some tough decisions.
Don't let that fancy wind tunnel go to waste.
Yeah. Maybe a little harsh, but also Lance has not been backing it up with good results as of late. So, it is what it is. Be fair to Lance Stroll, the Aston Martin has not been very good the last few weeks.
It's the Benjamin Button F1 car.
Yeah. Lance Stroll renewed. Also, Pierre Gasly has renewed his contract with Alpine. Probably a good decision for him.
That's a much
I would
better
say.
Contract renewal.
Yeah. for sure. I think it's a good thing to keep Gasly. I don't think they want to really start with two new people next season. So some stability there is nice, and hopefully they can pick up somebody that's quality, whether it's Teo Porcher, or if they can somehow, getting into our next paddock news, if they can somehow land Carlos Sainz, that would be insane.
That would be so big for them. I mean, they would have to get a faster car to also go along with it, but...
Yeah. Sainz is reportedly closing in on a decision about where he will be driving in the future. He says he wants to get this done sooner rather than later. And I think it's really just on him. There are three teams for sure that we know about 100% that are ready to sign Carlos Sainz. That yep, being... That's
Mercedes is one of them?
No.
No?
Alpine, Sauber, and Williams.
Right, right.
Yeah, Mercedes seems pretty set on Kimi Antonelli. But... It's still kind of hard to know what they're going to do. I don't know. The Mercedes one is a tough one. There's a lot of things that could happen there.
Yeah.
But, all right, that kind of rounds off the paddock news. There wasn't a ton. It's only been a week. So that's all we got. Formula One and the Austrian Grand Prix. It was a sprint weekend, much to my surprise. I had no idea until all of a sudden I look at Instagram on Friday and I see things about qualifying. I'm like, wait, what?
What the?
So, I was, throws me off. Yeah, I didn't know, but it's fine. Got more stuff to watch. So, let's go into sprint qualifying and the top 10. It was Max Verstappen on pole position, followed by Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. George Russell and Carlos Sainz were 4th and 5th, and then 6th through 10 were Hamilton, Perez, Ocon, Gasly, and Leclerc. Going into the sprint race, Verstappen maintained the lead on the start. Over the first few laps, Piastri pestered Norris for P2. On lap 5, Norris dove down the inside of Verstappen, taking the lead until turn 4 when Max passed him back. And then Piastri capitalized and passed Norris into turn 6 after that battle. And that is pretty much everything that happened.
Yep, the first 5 laps were pretty entertaining, and then after that, nothing yeah. burger.
Yep. Yeah. Classic sprint race. After the beginning, it just is a procession. We've had some good sprint races, but this was not one of them.
I will say that battle between
Verstappen, Norris, and Piastri, when it did get spicy on lap 5, that was pretty solid stuff, but that's really all that happened.
And I know that's what the organizers imagined the entire sprint race being when they thought of it. But I will continue to be a sprint race hater until something incredible happens.
Even then, I don't think it's not a... The format doesn't work in Formula 1 like it does in F2 and F3. Oh.
Yeah, by something incredible happening, I'm talking like if like on lap 7, Max Verstappen cured cancer, then I'd be like, okay, sprint races might be okay.
I mean, he is doing side quests at this point, so... It's within the realm of possibility. Maybe he'll win a 24-hour endurance race while he's in his F1 car.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
But anyway, let's go into the results of the sprint race. We had Verstappen in first, and Norris was... Wait, that can't be right. I don't think I'm going to go to a different website because I think I copy-pasted something wrong.
Oh, no.
Give me 2 seconds. All right, sprint. All right, here we go. The real results of the sprint race. We had Max Verstappen in first place, followed by Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. And then Russell and Sainz were 4th and 5th. Hamilton, 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Leclerc, Perez, Magnussen, and Stroll. 11 through 15 were Ocon, Gasly, Tsunoda, Ricciardo, and Alonso. And 16 through 20 were Sargeant, Albon, Bottas, Hulkenberg, and Zhou. So, yeah, not a ton of interesting stuff in the sprint, like we have kept saying. I guess Logan Sargeant did beat Alex Albon.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So there was that, and then I think he also out-qualified him for the sprint.
Yes.
Yes, he
barely.
Did. Just
bottom
barely.
Of Q2, but you know, yeah. Win's a win.
This is true. All right, back to my script here. So yeah, that was the sprint race. Not much to talk about, unfortunately. Qualifying for the Grand Prix, Max Verstappen was on pole, followed by Norris and Russell. Fourth and fifth were Sainz and Hamilton. Sixth through 10 were Leclerc, Piastri, Perez, and Hülkenberg. Notably, Piastri did qualify third initially, but then he had a lap deleted, so he was dropped to seventh. That was protested. The protest did not work. And after everything played out in the race how it did, it is a real shame for Oscar Piastri that the lap was not reinstated.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Alrighty, moving into the race, Verstappen got a better start than Norris off the line. That is becoming a pattern. Lando is not great at starts. Hamilton passed Sainz into turn 3 for P4. Piastri had contact with Leclerc early on, damaging his car, but he was able to continue. Leclerc, though, had to pit for a new front wing. On lap 5, Hamilton had to let Sainz pass him due to overtaking off the track. On lap 20, Alonso locked up and hit Zhou, earning himself a 10-second penalty. On lap 35, Ocon shoved Gasly off the track as he tried to overtake him. More Alpine drama. Love to see it. And then 6 laps later on lap 41, Gasly was able to pass Ocon into turn 4. On lap 52, Verstappen and Norris pit for new tires, and this brought Norris within 2 seconds of Verstappen after Verstappen had a really slow pit stop. On lap 59, Norris dove down the inside of Verstappen into turn 3, but was unable to overtake on track. On lap 63, Norris dove again down the inside of turn 3, but Verstappen was able to maintain his position just barely. And then the next lap, on lap 64, Lando went around the outside when the two cars made contact and left both of them with punctures. Both of them ended up having to limp back to the pits. Verstappen was able to put new tires on and continue his race, but Lando had too much damage to his car as his rear tire had completely unraveled and was destroying his floor. So Norris was out, unfortunately, and Verstappen fell way back. And when I say way back, I mean to P5 because they were so far out in front. Russell was promoted to the lead of the race and ended up going on to win.
It's crazy to me that Verstappen, well, you'll get into the placements, but Verstappen finishing as far ahead of Perez as he did.
Yes, this is where the Perez slander comes in. There'll be talking points about that in a second.
Oh, boy.
But yes, George Russell won the race, followed by Piastri and Sainz on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Hamilton and Verstappen. 6 through 10 were Hülkenberg, Perez, Magnussen, Ricciardo, and Gasly. 11 through 15 were Leclerc, Ocon, Stroll, Tsunoda, and Albon. 16 through 19, rounding off the finishers, were Bottas, Zhou, Alonso, and Sargent. Alonso with a absolutely atrocious race. And then we had one DNF, and that was Lando Norris. Not a great day to be a McLaren fan.
Or a Red Bull fan.
Or a Red Bull fan, really, to be honest, yeah. But getting into our talking points, George Russell had a couple of great races recently, taking pole position in Spain, and I think he was on the... No, he wasn't on the podium, but he finished fourth. And then this week in Austria, even if the Lando Verstappen drama didn't happen, Russell would have finished on the podium after having a pretty solid qualifying as well. So, yeah, George Russell on good form, really starting to take charge of the team as Lewis Hamilton is starting to step away. He's got a little over 25. He's got, 26-point lead on Hamilton right now in the championship. So not too far separated, but I think Russell has definitely been more consistent than Hamilton this year.
Yep.
All right, so moving on. Verstappen and Norris. This is shaping up to be the rivalry of the season.
I'm actually kind of excited for this rivalry.
I am too. They are really close friends, or at least were before this weekend. yeah, basically, it was a very, very, very close incident. Nothing crazy in terms of the contact. The contact was just placed so perfectly that both of them got punctures, and when punctures happen, things can go wrong, and unfortunately, Norris was out. But looking at the incident, it was Verstappen's fault. He did receive a 10-second penalty for it. And he somewhat took blame for it in a post-race interview, but also not directly. And Lando said that if Verstappen, when they talk later, doesn't own up to what he did, that the friendship is over. Now, that might be, I'm pretty sure he said that while the race was still going on and he was being interviewed.
They'll talk about it in iRacing tonight.
Yeah. I don't know how true that is. These are race car drivers at the end of the day at the highest level. They have a lot of pressure on them. Mistakes happen. I would hope that their friendship is not over due to something as stupid as this. Again, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't egregious. It's just something that happened, and Lando has done plenty of things that he has initially not taken responsibility for. So, at the end of the day, I don't think this should affect their friendship. I don't think it really will. I think Lando was just a little emotional, understandably. And hopefully they can move on from this. But the thing is I don't think this is the last time we're going to have wheel-to-wheel battles between Verstappen and Lando.
No.
So, yeah. That was the drama of the week. Max and Lando going at it. The battle lasted for like 20 laps. So it was really exciting to watch. And, you know, you say what you want about it being Verstappen's fault, which it was.
Can't Lando, stress that enough.
Lando kept dive bombing him. Like it happened three or four times. And it's dive bombs are notoriously risky and dangerous. And so
there's some IndyCar moves right there.
Yeah. While it wasn't his fault, something was bound to happen eventually. I think that kind of plays into the maturity thing a little bit. Not to say that Lando's not a mature driver, but this is the first time he has been battling for the lead with someone of Verstappen's quality.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a learning curve with that. It's not like passing a midfield car. It's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah. And it really did remind me of watching like lap one of an IndyCar race where all the drivers are just like, well, let's try. Let's take a shot.
Yeah.
And that's why you always have lap one cautions in IndyCar, is because they're all dive bombing the first corner.
Yeah. And that's just the nature of the beast there. Since it's a spec series, it's really hard to make up positions if you don't do it on the first lap. Yeah, so that is the drama for the week. Now let's get
aside
into...
there's a little bit of Alpine drama on the track, too.
A little bit. Not quite to the same level, though, as there has been in past races, but...
No.
Yeah.
I did laugh hearing Magnussen's radio message to the team when they warned him about saving tires for both cars.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. And, yeah, that made my day.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. All right, let's move into the Perez slander for the week as a large truck drives by my house. Sergio Perez finished in 7th place. 17 seconds behind Max Verstappen.
Is that after Max got the 10-second penalty?
Yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, either way, that's even worse.
It should be. Yeah.
17 seconds behind Max after Max had to pit after a puncture for, what was it, 4 or 5 corners?
Yeah, at least. It was like 7, I think. 7 corners.
7 corners.
So
he missed the window to pull out because of a slow change on one of the rears. Or no, that was a different time. Never mind. But yeah. Either way, like, yeah, insane.
Yep. So Perez is still double digit seconds behind Verstappen after Verstappen had been locked in a wheel to wheel battle of sorts for 15 plus laps.
Literally crashed.
Limped back to the pits for 7 laps, losing at least 20 seconds, because that's about how far George was behind, and George passed him right at the end of the lap.
And then took a 10-second penalty.
Then he went into the pits, which is a 20-second drop. The pit stop was actually pretty fast, considering. Then he came out, and then he got a 10-second penalty. So Verstappen lost at least 50 seconds of time on track, and Perez was still double-digit seconds behind him.
Yeah.
Like,
I was really hoping that his contract getting renewed for another couple years would be helpful to him in terms of, like, mentality and not having to, like, fight for his spot.
But yeah.
I don't think it has.
Well, it's like, looking at this, what's really crazy is looking at the gap that Verstappen and Norris had to Russell. And then if you translate that to the times and the intervals on the finishing order, I think Perez might have been almost, if not lapped, by the end of the race, if things continued how they would have been. And this would not have been the first time Verstappen has lapped a teammate in Austria. But, yeah. Still.
Insane.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah, Verstappen may have lapped Perez if things proceeded as normal.
And not to say that Perez is supposed to always come behind Verstappen, but kind of the point of a second driver at a team that's performing that high. I mean, Bottas is a good example, and clearly he's much happier not having to play that role, but kind of the role of a second driver at a team like that is to be there to pick up the pieces when the first driver can't make it happen or something happens.
Exactly.
You have to be right there.
You had to, if at the very least, he should have been on the podium.
Yeah.
But no, he's still behind Verstappen, barely even getting points. He finished 7th. He got passed by Nico Hülkenberg in a Haas. So he's sitting in between two Haases in a Red Bull. And yes, Haas has been better this season, but not that much better.
They're not Red Bull fast, yeah.
They're not Red Bull fast. So I don't really care that... I don't know, man. It's so hard to defend him.
He's a significant amount of points behind Sainz. Like, more than Perez winning a race and Sainz not finishing.
It's very, very difficult to defend him. It's so hard. Again, we love this guy. He is basically our home driver. He lives the closest to us out of
anybody.
Logan
Sargeant literally does not count.
Logan Sargeant, I think, is technically further away than Perez's hometown from where we live.
He lives in London, and technically he's a rich kid from Florida, so...
Okay, well, that's beside the point. But, I mean, it's... We don't have a personal vendetta against Perez, but it's just so hard to defend this guy.
We want him to do well, and we're just disappointed that he isn't.
And I really think that this is going to happen no matter who Verstappen's teammate is. It's so hard to tell now if the Red Bull is even that good or if it's just Max is just so incredible.
Yeah, because Max started out the race like 8 seconds ahead of Russell at the best point. Or 8 seconds ahead of Norris.
Yeah. It's like he's got the speed, but then his tires fall off. The Red Bull's been so bad on tires this year. His tires fall off so much earlier than anybody else's. Like, he was complaining about his tires almost immediately after coming out of the pits that second time.
And it seems like it's always on the hards.
Yeah, it doesn't do well with the hards, and the McLaren is just good on every tire, it seems. So I think that's where Red Bull's weakness is. I think that's where McLaren's strength is. And a lot of the other teams have strengths. Like, you never hear Russell or Hamilton complaining about tires, which takes a lot for Hamilton to not complain about tires.
We've heard Hamilton complain about tires a few times this season.
Not as much as it has been, though.
But not as much, yeah. It's not as much of a meme.
Yeah. And then the only other team that tires seem to be an issue is Ferrari, and they've not had a good couple of races recently. I mean, Sainz was on the podium this time, but for all intents and purposes, he would have finished fifth.
Yeah.
And Leclerc was 11th, would have finished 12th if Lando didn't DNF. So I will say, though, Leclerc's in 11th was not entirely his fault. There was just a lap one problem. He ended up having to pit early. It kind of destroyed his race, and he did cause way back from last to 11th.
Yeah.
So
almost to points.
So he did have actually a pretty decent race.
Yeah, and that was on four stops. So that was even one more than the prescribed, or the extra pit plus the prescribed pit stops. So
I'd say Leclerc did actually pretty decent this race. He just, you know, when you drop to the back of the field, it's pretty tough to get through. So unfortunate for him. Sainz did pick up good points for the team, but there definitely needs to be some improvement because it's been a few weeks. Yeah, I mean, since Monaco, since Ferrari's had a good result, really. That is the race. We also have
one driver between the Ferrari drivers and Verstappen.
Yes, this is true. All right. What else? We got Piastri, who I kind of hinted at earlier, kind of got screwed by that qualifying fiasco. If he didn't drop down four positions, he probably would have won the race.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, so that would have been really cool to see. He only finished less than two seconds behind Russell, and he was faster than Russell at the end of the race. But they seem to be on slightly different strategies, even though they had the same amount of pit stops. I think George Russell went... They did their medium, medium, hard in a different order.
Mm-hmm.
And that does make a difference. So, all right, moving into the championship standings. We are flying through this episode. Max Verstappen is still on top, and Lando is still in second, Lando Norris. And then Leclerc is close behind Norris, only 6 points back. Then you got Sainz, and then Perez. And yes, Perez is... What is that? 17 points behind Sainz. And then now we've got Piastri only 6 points behind Perez. You can't, and Russell 7 points behind Perez. Sergio Perez might not even finish in the top. He might not finish top 10. Well, okay, he'll finish top 10. But like,
yeah, let's not go that far. You can see probably, that as 19 points in 10th place right now.
But we're talking like 7th or 8th, probably, at the end.
We're talking three whole teams between him and Verstappen.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts. Looking at it that way, like, there are three entire teams between him and his teammate.
If he finishes 8th in a championship behind Hamilton, what are the chances that his contract gets bought out?
I don't know. It's so hard to say because I don't think he deserved this contract in the first place, so I don't know what the reasoning was for Red Bull to re-sign him, especially on a multi-year deal. Well, it's a 1+1, so really just one. But if it was for money, if it was for sponsorship, which I still don't get because Red Bull's so big.
I know, that's the prevailing theory, but I don't believe that. There's no way.
Red Bull has so much money, dude. So much expendable income. I don't know what the reasoning was, but if the reasoning was, okay, we think you're performing decent enough to give you another year, maybe this contract will improve your confidence, so we'll get more consistency, then they clearly didn't learn their lesson from last season, and it's literally just repeating itself. And so I mean, if I was Red Bull, I wouldn't have signed him again to begin with. But if he's finishing 8th place every race, I don't see how they can keep him on next year.
It's almost like they got gun-shy after the Gasly-Albon problems.
Which is a very...
It's really fair, because they never should have been in that situation in the first place, but now they're going too far to the other direction, I think. I think there's got to be some middle ground where you're able to get a driver who's competitive with your lead driver, but also not swapping them out mid-season if you're not immediately seeing results. And Perez has had a number of years to see results that he hasn't really made clear, except for that his second year, I feel like, was okay, right?
Yeah, his first and second years were actually his best. Yeah. But yeah, it's a completely, at this point, I like you make a good point that they're probably, you know, trying to learn from what happened with Gasly and Albon. But the big difference there is Gasly got like 10 races with Red Bull, and Albon got a season and a half, and one of the seasons was his rookie season. Mm-hmm. That last half of that season where they dropped Gasly. That was his rookie season. So, like, even into his second season, I don't think you can expect much. Sergio Perez has been in the sport for over 10 years, and this is his fourth season at Red Bull. I think it's time. Generally, driver pairings don't last that long. Anyway, even outside of the Red Bull scope. So, I don't think there's any shame in cutting Perez, and I don't think anybody other than Perez fans would be upset or, you know, shocked. I don't think you can really make an argument as to why they shouldn't, if we're talking pure results.
But yeah. Man, that really is the ultimate Perez slander. Straight up fire this man.
I told you, yeah, in our script for those listening, and I guess watching because you can't see, I literally just have the bullet point, ultimate Perez slander.
Fire this man!
Yeah, it's, again, nothing personal against Perez, it's just, there are other people who I think could do a lot better in that seat.
Yep.
Maybe, but that's the other thing, is like, do we even know that? How good is Verstappen?
Yeah. That's the thing. Maybe they have some special Verstappen calculator and they figured out that Perez is still the best bet, or...
It's hard to know because it's like... Yeah, it's really tough. Because
they are 64 points from losing first in the Constructors' Championship to Ferrari. And McLaren is not far behind.
No. So...
That is a few races of good luck for Ferrari or McLaren.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, if he finishes 8th in the driver standings, he had better hope and pray that they still win the Constructors. If Perez single-handedly loses them the Constructors' Championship, I don't see them taking too kindly to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would, if I was Yuki Tsunoda, I would stay vigilant and still try to get as many good results as possible, and he has been doing better this season. Granted, Ricardo did just... Oh, Ricardo got a point. He finished 9th. Good for him. Anyway. I don't think you can tell me that Ricardo has beaten Tsunoda comprehensively this year. Maybe it is time to give Tsunoda a shot. It's, again, hard to know, but I definitely don't see Tsunoda beating Verstappen.
No.
So... That's the other thing, is like, if it's not Perez, who is it? And who do you think will get you better results? Who are you going to be able to poach? That's why I think they dropped the ball when they could have gotten Sainz, and I think it's too late now.
Yeah.
They could have gotten Carlos Sainz, but they chose not to for valid reasons, but at the same time, you're not going to poach Norris now. You're not going to poach Leclerc. You're not going to poach Hamilton. He's already been poached.
Maybe they're waiting for Pelé.
Don't get my hopes up, man. It's like, who you got? Piastri's locked in. Russell's locked in for sure. He's not leaving Mercedes in a million years.
Hamilton's locked in at Ferrari.
Yep. Whoever goes to Mercedes is going to be locked in at Mercedes.
Hulkenberg's definitely going to be at Sauber for a little bit. Audi.
Absolutely. Which I think that was a absolute steal and a half for Sauber.
The more the season goes on, the more I'm thinking, like, man... that's gonna be really good.
I think that might be the best move by a team this year so far. like, more than the Hamilton to Ferrari, which as the season goes on feels like
less and less of a deal.
Less and less of a big deal. I still think it's cool, and I think Hamilton will do okay there, but I don't see a Hamilton storming off and winning the championship, not against Leclerc.
Yeah.
Who
else is there really, really viable? I mean, Alonso
other than
has
F2
decent pace, but it sounds like he's kind of going to start trying to get out of the sport.
I think he's starting to be done. Yeah. I think he's been burned too many times.
Yep.
Then you got Tsunoda. And, I mean, Gasly just locked in. Ocon is a free agent. But they don't get along. They don't get along. Yeah, Verstappen and Ocon do not get along.
No way. Red Bull, Albon, the team, would never sign Ocon, I don't think.
Albon's locked in, and I would never go back to Red Bull if I was Albon. And then
definitely
you just got
on Magnussen.
You got mediocre drivers past that. Let's throw Bottas in there. Bottas has not been performing super well. Granted, it's probably the car, but also,
he's
Bottas want to go
model.
Back in?
Yeah.
Does he want to go back in and be a second driver that he knows he's going to be?
No, he's following the Finnish model set by Kimi Räikkönen, where you do really well at a team, and then you go to a Sauber team, you do really not well, and then you retire to do stuff that you would rather do.
Yeah, which he does have other interests.
Bottas has very clearly developed hobbies outside of F1 very rapidly once he left Mercedes.
And he is very, very good. Like, if you look at his, like, cycling results, he's, like,
one
of
the
best
cyclists in the U.S. at this point.
Yeah, he's one of the best gravel cyclists in the world. It's crazy.
You're just three steps from driving a Subaru Crosstrek in Colorado for the rest of his life.
Plus, he owns a gin company, and... Yeah, the guy's set. Like, he's very much in a Kimi Räikkönen, I'm just doing this as a hobby mode right now.
Yeah, his calendar is probably one of the best-selling calendars. It might actually challenge the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar. I'm going to be honest. It's got to be close.
It's got to be up there. Not a lot of people buy calendars anymore, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's in the top 10.
Yeah, Andreas got me the Bottas calendar.
I saw it on your wall.
Yeah, it is on my wall. We have to flip it around whenever my parents or Emily's parents come over because it's a little confusing. But
yeah, that's true.
Every so often I look at it, I'm like, I wish I could go on a mountain bike ride right now.
Yeah. But needless to say, Red Bull, since they let Sainz go, doesn't have a lot of good options anymore. And that might have played into why they re-signed Perez, because if you're not re-signing Perez, it's either Tsunoda or Ricciardo or Liam Lawson. Like, realistically.
Yeah, and I think out of those, Lawson's probably the best bet, but even then, that's shaky.
Lawson has not entirely proved himself. If they committed to it and gave him 2-3 years, I'd say yes, probably. But if they want results right now, which they do because their championship is not in the bag yet, it probably won't be next year, I think probably Tsunoda. Or Ricciardo. That's the thing, is Ricciardo hasn't been doing super well, but he's finishing races. He's finishing close to Yuki. He's not as hot-headed as Tsunoda. He's going to bring sponsorships if that's really the reason that they're keeping Perez. Like, Ricciardo brings a lot of money, too. So it's a really tough decision, so that probably played into why they re-signed Perez. But they got to stop the bleeding at some point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That was our Perez slander for the day. It really was the ultimate Perez slander episode.
Yeah, that was like 10 minutes of Perez slander.
Yeah. For real. Yeah. All right. Constructors, we talked about a little bit, but yeah, Red Bull's out in front, but not by much. Ferrari and McLaren are right there. But past that, I don't think anybody has a chance at the title. Let's move on to the Pit Stop Championship. In first place this week was Ferrari and Charles Leclerc with a time of 1.95 seconds. Really good stuff. And then Sainz
had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. Sainz was second at 2.07. And then Perez and Piastri and Gasly. And then 6 through 10 were Ocon, Ricciardo, Tsunoda, Russell, and Stroll. So, yep. And then pit stop standings. Perez jumped Verstappen and retook the lead of the championship. Nothing else much super interesting. And then constructors, same thing. I think Alpine jumped Aston Martin for P5, and that's about as interesting as it got. Now overtake of the week. I gave this to Oscar Piastri for this could have been any one of five identical overtakes that he did this weekend around turn six. I give it to the one that he did on Carlos Sainz on lap 65 of the Grand Prix, just because it kind of meant the most. He got into second place, but basically he went around the outside of Carlos around a super long open left-hander and very difficult to find the grip to overtake there. But he did that. That was his favorite spot to overtake the entire weekend. He passed Lando Norris, he passed Sainz, he passed a couple other people. I don't remember exactly, but
why mess with a good thing?
Yeah. All right. Now for our predictions for the last week. This might be the most wrong we've ever been.
Bad.
But yeah, this race was not very predictable.
Yeah.
All right. Top five, to remind everybody, was George Russell, Oscar Piastri, Carlos Sainz, Lewis Hamilton, and Max Verstappen. Feels weird having Verstappen in fifth. He's either first or he's not on there.
Yeah.
Which is rare. But all right. Tell me what your top five was, Ben.
I had Verstappen, Hamilton, Norris, Leclerc, Sainz, and Alonso as my dark horse.
Okay. And I didn't do any better. I had Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, and Russell with Perez as my dark horse.
And we thought we had those first two covered off no matter what. We very much did not.
No, yeah. I was excited. I was like watching the battle. I'm like, there's no way Norris doesn't get past Verstappen at some point, and I'm gonna have my top two locked in. And then, yeah. So, that did not happen. Needless to say, moving on to the fastest lap. This one went to Fernando Alonso of all people.
So weird.
Yeah. So, what did you say, Ben?
I had Norris.
And I had Verstappen. Well. So we kind of flipped on that one. Driver of the day went to Lando Norris. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Hamilton.
And I had my free bingo space, Lando Norris, and oh boy.
How many times in a row is this? This has to be like four or five times in a row.
It's at least three or four, if not more. I saw somewhere that Norris officially has more driver of the days than Verstappen does wins this season. So
that's insane.
Yeah, pretty nuts. But anyway, that is our predictions for last week. Let's move on to this upcoming week. We do have an IndyCar race this week at Mid-Ohio, notably not an oval. Stupid 2023, Nathan. all right, pole position. What do you got, Ben?
I'm going to have power for this one.
I've got Pato O'Ward, Mr. Fast Hands himself. Podium, what do you got up there?
I'm going to say we're going to see Palou, Herta, and McLaughlin on this one.
Okay, and I have similar. I have Herta, Power, and Palou.
Herta and Palou have both just been on absolute hot streaks.
Yeah, Herta's... anyway.
It's finally putting it together.
Yeah. All right, and then winning number of pit stops, what do you got?
I have three.
I have two. All right. So, moving on to the Formula One British Grand Prix at Silverstone. I am very much looking forward to this race. I don't know why. Usually I don't look forward to Silverstone, but this year I am excited. Probably
it
because
feels
it's
almost
not
like
a guaranteed
2021.
Yeah, it's not a guaranteed Verstappen win is probably why I'm excited for Silverstone this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so with that being said,
that's
really funny that I just
said
that.
Place?
That's really funny that I just said that. all right. Yeah, give me your top five, Ben.
I have Verstappen coming in first. I have Piastri in second. Just a little mix up there.
Mm-hmm.
So close. Norris in third, Russell in fourth, and Hamilton in fifth, just to give the Brits a solid block of three. Then I have Ocon as my dark horse.
Okay. I have Verstappen winning as well. I debated putting Max or Lando or someone else. It's you know, it's a good season when it's really hard to figure out who's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, I think
when it feels more like IndyCar.
Yeah. This has been definitely the best season since 21. 1,000%.
Yep.
So, I mean, now we've got what, five different winners?
But, that's crazy. Yeah,
that sounds right.
That's like IndyCar numbers.
Yeah, because we got Verstappen, Sainz, Leclerc, Norris, and now Russell. So, yeah, five different winners in what, 10 races?
Yeah.
Ish, 10 ish races. Yeah, that's not something we're used to. So, very cool stuff. But anyway, moving on to my top five. I got Verstappen in first, followed by Norris and Piastri on the podium. And then I have Hamilton and Russell rounding off the top five. And my dark
both
horse.
Have the Mercedes off the podium.
Yeah, Mercedes off the podium. Ferrari not even in the top five. And then I have Pierre Gasly as my dark horse. Just to kind of mirror your Ocon a little bit.
We have like the exact same names, just slightly different orders for our top five. And then we have an Alpine driver for our dark horse.
Yeah, and you would say, well, you can't say it's not easy to predict if you've got the same predictions. But I think this is just a coincidence because it is very possible that Perez could finish top five, the Ferraris could finish top five, you could see a Hulkenberg sneak into the top five. Like, there's... it's not easy.
Man, can you imagine how crazy it would be if Perez got top five?
That would be pretty nuts, yeah. Brutal, dude. Brutal.
Anyways. All right,
fastest lap. What do you got?
I have Norris.
I have Verstappen. And driver of the day, what do you got?
I'm going to say Russell.
And I have Lando Norris because I like being right.
I know it's a British race. If Lando does decently, then who else could it be?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it'd be nice to see somebody else win. I'll give you that. But yeah, seems unlikely. All right. That's your job, Ben.
I mean, you can read it if you want.
Words of wisdom. No, that's your job, man.
It's a little niche this week. It's really only for if you also have recently got a puppy or if you're in the process of dog training, which I personally believe starts when you get the dog and ends when the dog passes away. But consistency is key when it comes to dog training. It's something that has really been evident to me as I've been trying to train our puppy. We recently got a little like leather strap with bells on it to hang around the door so she can ring it when she wants to go outside and go potty. And it's really been a struggle. Like, if she rings it, like, you got to get up and go let her out. That way it reinforces that she goes out and goes potty and then comes back inside every single time she rings it. That way she doesn't abuse it to just go outside whenever she wants. You know,
yeah.
It has consequences. Even if she doesn't want to go outside and she rings the bell or doesn't want to go potty, you just stay outside until she does. So consistency is key. Especially smart dogs, they will take any habit that you don't reinforce and make it part of their habit. And that can be a little frustrating at times. So, yeah, consistency is key.
Awesome stuff, Ben. I've never had a dog, so I can't speak to that. But
maybe one day.
Yeah, definitely one day. I would love to have a dog someday. Only certain breeds, though.
Yeah. What breed did you get?
Probably a golden.
There you go. I love goldens. They're so
everyone
funny.
Does. Who doesn't love golden retrievers? But I've also thought about Australian Shepherds too, because they are gorgeous.
They're high energy, but they're so smart.
Yeah, that and Border Collies was kind of the other.
Border Collies are like Australian Shepherd plus more energy.
I know. That's kind of why I'm thinking probably I'll end up with a Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
But anyway, that rounds off our episode. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and or F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials and comments or DMs, and we might feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the socials at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the IndyCar Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio, notably not on an oval, and the Formula One British Grand Prix, also not on an oval. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.